We'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 1st verse. Entitled Message, Carnal Christians. 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, 1st verse. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are carnal, yet carnal, and for, whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? Let's pray together, please. The most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for all Thy blessings You give us in Christ Jesus and Your mercies that are everlasting and how You watch over us and protect us and forgive us as we have need of. And we know we all fall short of the glory of God and all need, Father, Thy help and strengthening, and that we might do those things pleasing in Thy sight and not bring dishonor, shame to Thee. We just praise Thee, ask Your mercies upon each one. Those without Christ, You might be pleased to save, and the saints, You would be pleased to edify according to Thy good will and pleasure. We pray these things in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is leading us to this point through the preceding verses. We are having an example of the prince of the world depending on their wisdom rather than God's wisdom, and they do that because they're just lost. Now, they don't know any better. If they knew Christ, it says they wouldn't have crucified Him. And so they are just natural in their natural appetite and in their natural, if you will, environment. And some things they just absolutely cannot know. But we that have been saved by God's amazing grace and has received the wisdom of God, and so we need to depend upon God's wisdom and not our wisdom. They depended upon their wisdom and not the crucified the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, as we do. They did not know what God laid out before them, that God loved, because they were blind and spiritually ignorant, if you will. And Jesus asked for their Father not to count that against their charge, the Lord, if you will, those that are yet to be saved, He loved us with everlasting love. We don't know how many that was there that morning mocking Jesus Christ that later on were saved. We don't have any clue. The Bible doesn't tell us. And there's a lot of fables about that, but you can't go by fables. We can only go by what the Word of God tells us. We find that they were blind and spiritually ignorant, and Paul, by the Spirit, is showing the connection between the preceding and carnal actions based upon carnal thinking, the Christian. And we also think about the church today and all the carnal practices that go on in churches. And the shame of it is the churches we consider true churches endeavor in some of these things also. And the spiritual, the carnal, and babes in Christ. It is used in speaking about 1:1a, governed by mere human nature, but not by the Spirit of God. If you've read, ever looked up carnal, you know there's a list about that long and strong of all the different things, but that's basically what it means here, is to lean on human ideas or wisdom rather than God's wisdom, and others just animal appetites and so on and so forth that it speaks of. All men have spirits, but the natural man, for the most part, is governed by his soul or by his emotions and appetites. And that's what drives him, guides him, and the things that he wants to get ahead. Sometimes they just want to fulfill their lust. When the Spirit calls them carnal, He refers to their lifestyle, their conversation in the world, in the course of the saints of God. All men have a spirit, soul, and body, and the spirit is like the inner chamber. And the word spiritual is used here means one who is filled with and governed by the Spirit of God. So we don't have to wonder about what spiritual means here. It's not talking about being a devil worshiper. Some people say, well, they're spiritual, or and some kind of off Christianity, and they say, well, they're very spiritual, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about those that are filled with the Spirit and are governed by Him. It is a person, new nature, given over, if you will, to them by regeneration of the Holy Spirit, and how He comes in a way that we don't know, as I mentioned, John 3:8, and it's like the wind that blows, lifts us, and we don't understand how it comes or how it goes, and so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. It ends that passage with, then Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to the mercy, by His mercy, He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so God's salvation, if you will, is the supernatural. It is by the Spirit of God. It is accomplished by the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary and His resurrection. And He ever lives to make intercession for us. The Holy Spirit washes us, reminds us of the Old Testament laver, where they, when they approached God, they had to cleanse themselves before they could go into the holy place, and or the Holy of Holies. And if they sweated or anything while they were serving at the altar, then they had to wash again. And so they, this is the ideal of being washed, but we don't use some laver. We don't use a bathtub. It is the Holy Spirit that washes us and cleanses us. And there in John 3, John 3:3 and 5, Jesus asked and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So it's a necessity that the Holy Spirit do something in us, that He changes us in some way that makes us unique and special from anybody else that has not been converted. The cleansing by the Spirit is preparatory for God's entrance, if you will, into man's spirit, into his inner man. It is preparing a tabernacle, if you will, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so it has to be swept out, washed out, cleansed, if you will, from the filthiness of the world. There in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter and 19, and there it says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is our God's. And that is, we belong to God. And so we're not to be carnal. We're to be those that are led by the Spirit. We are should be spiritual by nature. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you don't have to be ignorant where you're saved or not. I've heard people say, well, I don't know where I'm saved or not. And the Bible doesn't say that He saves you and then makes a secret of it. You know, the Holy Spirit comes in and saves you and lists where we, you know, where he, like the wind, and how He comes, how He goes, we don't know. So is everyone born in the Spirit, but that doesn't mean that we don't know we're saved. And the Spirit bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God. It was there that the Holy Spirit sealed us and applied, if you will, the seal of promise. And it speaks of the Holy Spirit sealing us a couple of different places. But Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And that is a seal you can't break. Some religions teach, you know, that you're secure, but that you can get lost again of your own volition. That you can just lose yourself. But that's not what God says. Once we're sealed, you can't get out of it. The devil can't get you out of it. Your friends can't get you out of it. There's no power on earth that can remove you from being one of the Lord's children. And so that is that seal that cannot be penetrated, that cannot in any way be destroyed. And this is the area, though, where hypocrites and carnal Christians don't know for sure whether they're saved or lost often. And it's because their life is so wicked that they can't discern it. It is hard to separate the actors from the carnal believers. And of course, hypocrites are just actors. They're pretending to be saved, and yet they're not. Carnal Christian is living an ungodly life, and if you will, you can't tell the difference between him and the pretender. I mean, you put them together, they look the same. And so that's the way it is between some carnal Christians. Some are more carnal than others. And so it's hard to separate them. Many are called mainstream Christianity, hypocrites, masons, deceivers, false believers. Even as Gnostic can fit into that and seem to be in place. Let me say that they should be seen out of place instead of being part of the congregation. And you hear things of what people say they believe that are regular members of the church, active in all the things, you know, and you find out they're agnostic. You know, or they just believe in a divine being of some kind. That, as we hear today, you know, regardless of what God you worship, what God you serve, you know, that you're just being watched over by whatever it is in the universe. And the Bible says we can know who the Father is. Scriptures clearly show us we can know the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God bears witness with us that we are the children of God. And so this is some carnality that's got into the churches. And some example of carnality in many churches today, and these so-called Christian religious holidays, which are, to name a few, Mardi Gras. Of course, we don't see too many Baptists doing that, Fat Tuesday. Ash Wednesday and Lent, you know, usually Baptists don't do that. But Halloween and Halloween, followed by All Saints Day and Xmas, they do. I mean, some of them will be having this month. We'll have Halloween celebration. There was a preacher friend of mine, and you know him. I think he pastored here for a while. He went to a church, and they said, "We're going out to meet at a barn." So he didn't know what was going on. He went out to that barn, and anyway, it was a Halloween celebration. Everybody's dressed up, and these are church members. I mean, this is not, like they say, this is open to the public. It was just a time of them getting together. And I asked him if they used the word fellowship. He said, no. I said, oh, he can think, but I need to get out of here. And the point I'm making is that this is supposed to be a sound Baptist church. And they celebrate these things, and they celebrate, of course, the other holiday also. All supposed Christian connected holidays, but they are carnal. Most are designed to free the flesh, and the devil worships supposedly these holy days, whether it be Mardi Gras, which follows the French Fat Tuesday, which is end of the carnival. And if you know anything about the carnival, we know that that's not Christian. And the next day is Ash Wednesday, and our beginning of Lent. And Halloween is a daily celebration preceding so-called Holy All Day Saints. I mean, All Saints Day, where you can pray to the saints and do all these wonderful things. And so most Baptists don't pray to the saints. But they do. Some of them do celebrate Halloween. We could consider the sprinkle in place of baptism. For centuries, some practices before them. But this is when it was made official. And the reason why you sprinkle into the immersion, you know why? There is a reason for it. Because babies can't hold their breath like adults can. Now, that is the reason for sprinkling. I've heard a lot of people talk about all the different reasons, you know, no water and all this. But that wasn't the original reason for sprinkling. The reason for sprinkling is that it's going to wash away original sin from babies, but babies couldn't hold their breath. So they just sprinkled them. And pretty soon, those that would convert to Christianity by the 4th century, they sprinkled them too. And once you were sprinkled in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you could not be baptized again. And if you baptize again, it's a mortal sin. So if we see sometime people's a member of the church and they suddenly understand that they have been saved and was not saved before, and although they've been baptized, we baptize them. Why? Because that first baptism don't count. Baptizing a sinner means nothing. It does nothing for them. And it really doesn't do anything for the church. It only counts when you've been saved. And so that's the reason, if you deal with some, I find the Lutheran are more strict on this than the rest of them. But they're just scared to death if you mention that they need to be immersed in order to be a part of the church. Or that they should be immersed if they've been saved by God's amazing grace. And then we have the deathbed baptism. We don't see that too much anymore. But some wait till their deathbed. Now, why would they wait till their deathbed? To wash away sin. So that way, when they get baptized, wash away their sin, and die, then they go into heaven. Now, what is that? It's carnal. What is that? As pagan, and the so-called founder of this was Constantine. Now, there's records of others doing it before Constantine did, but when Constantine did that, for a generation or two, many would wait till their deathbed to be baptized so they could wash away their original sin, or their sin. And some Methodists used to practice baptism where I grew up. I don't think any of them sprinkled. Now they do. And if you request it, some churches there will immerse you. But they have also fallen back to the point where they think you've been baptized by the formula, because they baptize infants also, you cannot be baptized again. How many Baptists participate and these idolatrous, wicked, Catholic, pagan celebration, or accept their so-called baptism, or go under their flag, if you will, in some of these foolish things. And I've heard Baptists say that you shouldn't baptize a person again. And I said, I was talking to one, I said, yeah, but what if a person wasn't saved when they was baptized the first time? I said, really, it's not scriptural baptism. He said, once you've been baptized, you're baptized. But you're not. Can you imagine Paul writing to a church, ask them what they're going to be doing on Easter and Xmas? What are y'all going to be doing that day? We think, well, no, but Paul wouldn't have done that. Early church wouldn't have done that because while they were, if you will, in worshiping God, when the winter solstice come around, and a few days afterward, after the winter solstice, then they'd celebrate the rebirth of the sun god. And that's where our Xmas comes from. And of course, Halloween, you know, is the fertility goddess. That's the reason they had Easter eggs. How many churches, even true churches, go out and have Easter egg hunts? That's carnal. That's, if you will, compromising the grace of God, the wisdom of God, and if you will, that goes against the morality that we're supposed to have before Almighty God. Paul, by the Spirit, was trying to get them to forsake all these carnal, pagan, evil practices, and we know Corinth was the leading city in these things, and so Paul's continues on trying to show them the error of their way. Improper diet leads to carnal practices. We have an example of Hebrews 5:10. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to utter, saying that ye are dull of hearing. For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat, if you will. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Praise the babe. What they do? Got tired of the word of God. Got tired of it. Dull of hearing. We don't want to hear that, preacher. Let's get some new stuff. We've heard that Bible stuff enough. We want some new stuff. We want some new ideals. We want some new practices. Dull of hearing. They got tired of the word of God. They didn't want a gospel preacher or a preacher that preaches the Word of God. They wanted somebody to tickle their ears. And in their carnality, they had lost touch with the truth of God's Word. And they had become like babes desiring milk. Now, Peter mentions that about babes in Christ and that they start out on the milk of the Word. And you say, well, are they carnal? Of course they are. You ever seen a babe in Christ? Now, they don't know they're carnal. They don't think what they're doing is carnal. But a lot of things you've got to get rid of as you grow in Christ. But if you're mature in the Lord and have need of milk again, then you've gone backwards instead of forwards, and that's carnality. Hebrews speaks of that, and speaks of our Lord and Savior, called of God to be a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. If you will, we are to worship Him and Him only. The dull of hearing are tired of the Word of God, looking for something else. Paul, by the Spirit, rebuked them for their lack of spiritual growth. Of course, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. They are like the Gentiles, Corinthians, and of course Hebrews to the Jews, they're all carnal that Paul was referring to. Hebrew corrected the Jewish believers' carnality, and the Corinthians corrected the Gentile believers and their carnality. This shows that Christian carnality is not limited to any particular people. No matter what color you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what church you belong to, you can become carnal. The dull of hearing, those that like to do the holidays. Some of the things you hear sometime when somebody says, excuse me. And somebody says, I really miss Xmas. I really miss this. I kind of feel like our kids missed out. And the Easter egg hunts. I just don't see, that's that bad. Now, they may not practice them, but they long to practice them. They desire to do that. And that shows carnality. Because they like to, if you will, satisfy the flesh. How can we identify a carnal Christian? Is a Christian is so using, if you will, or so weak, arm of, if you will, weak in all his Christianity, his faith, his dedication to the Lord and praying. And I copied this from McGee. How can we identify a carnal Christian? It is a Christian who's using the weak arm of the flesh. He is using carnal methods to obtain spiritual goals. God doesn't accept that. We think about so-called Christians. We operate in kind of a carnal range. Shame of it is we still have the flesh. And so we all the time fighting against it. And the sometime we give in to it. And when we do, we're carnal. And so there's levels, if you will. There's those that have very little carnality and those that have a whole lot of carnality in their life. Jacob said he wasn't worthy, the least of God's mercy, of His word that God had shown him. And none of us are. And we're not made worthy as we go along. We're just counted worthy in Christ Jesus. They say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved without ever telling them what to believe. You say, well, who do that? Some Christian churches. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't know anything about Jesus, what are they going to believe? Say this prayer. Do this, that, and the other. And they got the cart before the horse. They got to know who Jesus is first. That'd be like saying, believe in the president or believe in somebody else. We believe in Jesus because who He is, what He's done, and what He's still doing for us. We love Him because He is God. We love Him because He died for us to cleanse us from all of our sins. We just don't love a figure in the Bible without knowing who He is. How can you believe if you don't know what to believe? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Ever seen one of these evangelistic books, How to Win Souls? Some of those you can go down, and they'll never tell you hardly anything about Jesus. They tell you about praying and getting into heaven by prayer. Repeat after me. Sign this card. But they really don't explain to them who Jesus Christ is. And apart from the preaching of the gospel, there is no salvation. And one of the things we used to see in these books, but is fast evaporating, is you're a sinner doomed to hell. It's almost like, come to Jesus and join our club. You know, come be part of this Philadelphia Baptist Club. I mean, that's the kind of teaching and preaching they have. And let me say to you, that's all carnal. Somebody says you can't preach or you can't build a church preaching the essentials. You can't have a church without them. In Acts 16, in Acts 16:30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake to him the word of God, and to all that were in his house. You see, what they do, they skip verse 32. They don't preach to him about Jesus Christ. Now, what they do, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house, he and all his straightway. They just skip verse 32. Now, if they read it, of course, they didn't include it, but the point I'm making, they skip it. And what Paul did, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus. They said, what must we do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he preached to him Jesus. You can't be saved without it. Notice Paul preached unto them the word of the Lord. They have disciple classes and use the ideals of men rather than the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when I was looking at Alice, but I can't remember what my age was. I was a lot younger. And they had all these discipleship classes going on around where we were at. And they was wanting me to teach one, and I said, well, you know what are we doing here? Oh, we got a program here. Here's the lesson. You just teach this lesson here. So I looked at it. And yes, it had how to do good works and win people over your point of view and a lot of those things. I only like one thing. It didn't teach about Jesus. It didn't give understanding about the Word of God. They have discipleship classes, 2 Timothy 3:7, as we already mentioned, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Human reasoning will hit people's hearts. It'll hit them. It'll turn their emotions and their soul to where they'll react to it. And they made hallelujah and raised their hands. But if they don't know they're a sinner, and they don't know who Jesus really is, then they're not saved. The Bible is the preferred book for saints, but the carnal use almost any book there is. Their understanding of God is taught by precepts of men, mentioned in Isaiah 29:13, but I have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Those discipleship classes were exactly that. And the precepts of men offer contaminated, if you will, food. They take the scriptures and then, you know, it's like reading the scripture and then going off on 10 buck two on something else. Carnality, strife, and division go hand in hand. Often there is very little difference between carnal and babes in Christ. As we mentioned, we are to grow in Christ. We are to love the brother. And they're pridefully carnal, Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a good heart, proud heart, stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. So one stirs up strife, one's made fat. And he's talking about being fat in the Lord. How can you tell the difference? If somebody's always stirring a pot and they're stirring up strife, that's the proud. And the one that's trusting in the Lord is one that doesn't stir the pot, doesn't make these things happen, if you will, and do everything they can to calm it back down again. The carnal Christian is against the truth, James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Sometimes it always breaks my heart when I hear a Christian say, I think I've done as much as so-and-so, but they never mention my name. Well, God knows your name. And the Bible indicates you receive the praise of men, you got your reward. The things that we do, we should do in secret, and then we'll be greatly rewarded in glory. But if it pleases God, we'll receive glory here. But we're not to seek it. We're not to look for it. We're not to get jealous or envious of our brothers and sisters in Christ because their name is mentioned. I had a man come to me, and he had reached sinless perfection. I mentioned him before, first church I ever pastored. But this on a different occasion, he said, you know who keeps that water pump out there going for the church? I said, I don't know. He said, I do. He said, you know who comes and he's talking all day? He said, you've never mentioned my name from the pulpit for all these things that I've been doing. I mean, he even laid out a few Sundays because of it. I thought to myself, he has his reward. A saint may be against those wicked holidays and for the King James and still be carnal. Just being against holidays doesn't make you spiritual. There's a lot of people hate the holidays, and they're not even saved. So hating holidays doesn't mean nothing. We may not participate in all these other things that I mentioned this morning and still be carnal. Sometimes it's the lack of doing something rather than the doing of something. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, that's one of the hardest things for people to do. Give glory to somebody else. And standing there thinking, well, I've done as much as they did. Or I've done more than they did. Or I've done a little of this and I've never got any glory for it. That causes strife. But if you esteem others better than yourself, then you say they need the honor. They need the glory, if you will. They deserve it. And so, if you will, we leave ourselves out of the formula. When a prayer meeting is just a show of gossip, sessions, is that not carnal? I don't know if you've ever been in a prayer meeting and it turned into gossip. I've been in too many of them. Is that a prayer meeting? Or is that carnal? We could go all day and night with examples from the Old Testament, New Testament, passages that deal with this very thing. Some of our patriarchs, we can speak of them. And their carnality was revealed in everything they did, if you will, those that we're speaking of in Corinth. And some says, I am a Paul. Others says, I'm Apollos. We like Paul. We like Apollos. I mean, it's like almost like a split in the church. I guess we have the Paulites and the Apollolites. And they is opposing one another. It's like Sadducees and Pharisees. They supposed to both be Jews, but they was head on against one another. Should be, we are Christ. Carnal was revealed in everything they did. Are you carnal, which governs your life, God's wisdom? Carnality, worldly wisdom. I've heard people say, well, in some things you've got to use worldly wisdom. Now, God doesn't call us to be fools. I don't mean that at all. But if it's not, if you will, from a godly standpoint, then we're carnal. Well, it's investing, whether it's getting a banking account, or doing this, that, or the other, things we do in the world, we should do it. And honor God in it. But if we do it from the worldly standpoint, God gets no honor whatsoever. Very seldom, if ever, if you will, they repent. That is a sign of carnality. So, when's the last time you repented? You say, well, really, preacher, I hadn't done nothing really bad. I think to myself, when people say things like that, I think they said they didn't know what they're saying. We all fall short of the glory of God. If it wasn't for Jesus counting us righteous, we'd lose our righteousness. We'd be like the Arminians, believing to be saved, lost. And of course, the Bible says you can't be saved again if you ever get lost. But we'd be like that. But we know we're safe and secure in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you get mature in the Lord, it should cause you to repent more. Confess more. Because you should have a clearer sight of who Jesus is. The problem there in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, they didn't truly have a view of Christ at all. Some, like the hypocrites, put on the show of the graces, but there's no repentance in their hearts. Then I mentioned early, and I put this in the question, are these evil holidays out of your heart? Yes, if we should not celebrate them, whether we love them or not. That's true. We should not forsake the Scriptures for something that we think somebody's written about the Scriptures is better than reading the Bible. But we should still read the Bible. There's a lot of things that we do, if you will, that reveal our carnality. And one of it is, and I hate to use holidays every time, but it is the love of the holidays. May not celebrate them. Been stiff against it for 50 years. But yet it's there. Now, none of us had ever gone to the grave and prayed for a dead, departed loved ones like many do on Halloween. You say, many do that? Yeah, in California, a lot of them done that. Some of them went out there and put little trinkets around them, keep the evil spirits from their dead loved ones. I asked one of them one time, we was working in the same place at the time, and I said, where do you believe their soul is? I said, do you believe it's in the ground? Or do you think they're in heaven or hell? I said, where do you think they're at? He said, well, the evil spirits can get in there. And what I got by what he said, he didn't know. Now, I know that's Catholic. And we don't see Baptists out there doing that. Putting trinkets around our those that's passed on before us. We don't do that. We don't pray for the dead. We pray for the living. The dead is already set. There is no hope or there's no destruction, whichever way it is, once we pass from this life. So we don't need to pray for them and hope to get to heaven and all these other things that I've heard Baptists do. Once those eyes are closed, that heart quits beating, there's no more breath, they're either one place or the other.